On the Wake Up Radio presents The Hour.
You must remember, the enemy has only images and illusions, behind which he hides his true motives. Destroy the image, and it will break the enemy. The it that you refer to is a powerful weapon.
What is life?
The story we tell ourselves. And every story needs a beginning. Your imagined suffering makes you lifelike.
Lifelike, but not alive. Pain only exists in the mind. It's always imagined. So what's the difference between my pain and yours? Between you and me?
To find a solution to a problem whose answer you already know.
The
Everything went backwards and reversed, right?
Yeah.
I think humans might do a whole lot more evolving spiritually if go back to the Stone Age. But people are spoiled to modern convenience.
Did we have a Stone Age?
I don't know.
In my thought process, like if you go back to the technology the Egyptians or the ancients had, right?
Literal stones, ain't it?
Reverse engineered us and the technology as they were hiding everything. It's like we used to, so that would have had, we would have had all our gifts. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know if we ever like really lived in a cave. It just never, like, so we went from having advanced technology to cavemen to advanced technology.
Well, here's the thing. My dad used to always say, and my grandmother, and I'm sure you've heard it from your grandparents, nothing is new under the sun. And there was a higher science back when, except for they didn't get a goddamn Verizon bill with it. And a spell that showed up. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. All these things existed. Like they even talked about, and if you are into the Bible, Moses' time, right? There was a computer that they found. That makes sense, right? It was a computer, an actual computer from way back when. And nobody knows how to turn it on, but like nobody knows how to build the pyramid, yada, yada, yada. So there's a higher science to things we don't understand about back in the days.
Well, I think collectively we might not understand, but I think those with these nefarious agendas understand, and they don't want us to know. I think that's where they call themselves Illuminati, but because they hold this knowledge, but they don't want us to know.
Well, they learn everything at what, the Jesuit schools? And if we were Jesuits, we would know all the, it's like if we went to wizardry school or alchemy school. Do you get what I'm saying?
Enlightenment, but the only way to enlightenment, religion tells us that, you know, yoga and meditation is evil per se, and prayer in itself and connecting to yourself and that level and becoming, claiming your sovereignty, accessing that higher self, becoming God in essence, I guess. Well, illuminating oneself.
How many times have you watched a movie and they always say, religion is just something created to control man.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
And do we know what right and wrong is?
Right and wrong is what you feel.
It's a feeling, right? It's a feeling. You know when you've done someone right shit.
Yeah,
I think there's some people who have no conscience at all.
Oh, I believe it's empty vessels. I think there's a lot of empty vessels, but I also believe that there's people who have already been taken over. You know, it's the concept for me that people think this alien invasion is going to be, you know, these green or gray or whatever Martians or aliens walking down the street. But I don't believe it in that sense. I believe it's an AI invasion. I believe it's more of a spiritual invasion. And I think it's already happened and it's been happening for a while now. It's just now that we're at the Super Bowl of it, so to say, right? Where there's so much taking place. But you know, I think that some may be empty vessels, but I think that some that were living souls are fighting inside to maintain some sense of humanity, or they've just been taken over. I said this yesterday, I think, on the show, but this really, I just can't even. This girl I've known for a long time made a comment yesterday, and she was in the military. Now she's a nurse, and it was about vaccines, and we were talking about aborted fetal cells. And she said to me, she would rather they use them in a vaccine than throw them in the trash. And
I'm about to ask you, oh God.
And I still, like, right here, I can't, do you know what I mean? Like, it hits me here, like, and I said, you're a demon, and it's so crazy because usually, like, I'll screenshot it, or I'm very mouthy, and I literally, like, just backed out of that. I was like, there's something really fucking wrong over here. Like there's a part of you that just is doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's just dead. And how does that happen? Like, did she have a soul? Where is it now? You know, and this is the battle of heaven and hell that's taking place. You know, yeah. I don't know if you're, are you familiar with John Trudell?
Yeah.
He's just such an inspiration for me. But one of his quotes is that to protect your spirit, because you're in the place where spirits get eaten.
Yep.
And he was really wise in how he spoke about our spirits and our beings and how we're here, and that there are empty, but I think there's a lot of demons that are now here.
Personally. Yeah, my stepmom passed away, and she was slipping in and out. I watched her slip in and out of that realm, and she was able to see things, and she said that she was dreaming about demons, and I was just like, yeah, you're seeing reality for what it is now. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Hopi prophecy?
The Hopi?
The Hopi prophecy, yeah.
I know I heard of it, but would you remind me?
I'm afraid I won't even do it justice, but it talks about people coming from different realities and from different worlds, and about the Kachinas, and how it would, you would see people that look like they were in pain walking, you know, like it just hurt to be in this reality. And I could totally relate to that. And that there would be a shifting and the end of a cycle and the beginning of the fifth world. And I'm like, I'm totally ready for that. I'm ready for the fifth world. And well, I think that
with Martin Kenney, what? That the fifth world would align with Martin Kenney's cosmic egg theory, in that we have all lived in the Garden of Eden, and it's similar to, so there's a magnetic center, and then you can think of it like ripples of water or rings on a tree, and every civilization that once was still exists. They're just in an outer ring. And right now that we are at the end of an epoch, it's every 6,000 years a system resets itself, and this would be the fifth mass extinction or the fifth reset or whatever on that premise. So it doesn't seem too far off, the two of those.
Well, let's try to manifest it. let's do it. I'm down. I guess it can be done in a few different ways.
Right. Well, here's the thing. When you guys were talking about how people aren't, they're apathetic, they're not nice, and how people are just cold. I kind of had like a little revelation. I was talking to a brother from Australia, and he was explaining to me that the reason why people are really disconnected with their feelings is because how they were wired as a baby, back to babies. Because I believe, like, you can't fix anything if you don't look at it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said to me, you're so kind, or something. Like, you know, people say, I'm kind and stuff. Now, I do have a selfishness about me. If I want something, I want something. Don't bring me, if I want a banana, don't bring me an apple, because I'll still give you that look like, I wanted a banana. Do you get it? Because,
yeah,
but I'm also, if I have a banana, you want the banana, I won't even give you half. I'll give you the whole thing and be like, oh, I'll get a banana another time. You right? Because sharing is good.
Yeah.
And so he said, it's kind of like how we were as babies. And then I had a moment where I remembered something that my grandmother told me, because I don't remember anything till I was 8 years old. So I don't remember nothing except for getting on a plane at 5 and screaming through the whole thing, which sucks.
Like, ain't that crazy?
okay. So my grandmother said to me, because my mom said to me, and from my grandmother, which is my grandmother's my dad's mom, you were a horrible baby. Our mother's the sweetest. And my grandmother said, don't you tell her that. And she was like, no, she was. She cried all the time. And my grandmother said, you didn't feed her for the first 3 days of her life. My mother didn't know how to breastfeed me. She had just turned 17, couldn't figure it out. So by the time we got to the third day, my grandmother said she now had to find a way to feed me, but I didn't even want any more food because my brain had already wired myself to go, well, I'm not getting any food. What am I going to take this for? Henceforth, if you remember stories, if your grandparents are around, try to see why you are the way you are, because it started as a baby. Were you gorged with food? That's why you're so selfish? Or were you let to cry? Were you ignored a little bit? That's why you're a little bit more compassionate. I'm not saying it's a whatever, but I am a psychology major, so forgive me. But do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm like that.
No, it totally makes sense.
Is there a reason, maybe you know, why we can't remember back to when we were babies or remember certain parts of our life? Is it just because it was trauma or just...
I think some people, Cam, I had asked Cam and Cam said he... Cam, I had an ex. I've had a couple of people tell me they remember being in a crib crying, like ripping out their hair or doing, you know.
Isn't that interesting? I don't know if I ever thought. I'll have to sit and think about it. I don't know if I ever thought about it.
Now, how far can you go back?
I wonder if anybody can go back to intrauterine.
I can go back to when I was little. I can go back to the first house I lived in.
How old were you?
So I moved out of there when I was 6. So I can remember a lot in that house.
I would take that. The fact that I can only remember being 8 is just like somebody like wiped my shit.
No, I mean, I think that does happen though. I really, that's a whole... But I do believe that that's taking place. And I think that in spiritual beings, people who are more connected, stuff like that, that they have taken parts of our memory and X them out so that we don't have a connection to who we are. There has to be an importance to it that it doesn't exist anymore. It's not logical.
Doesn't DNA hold memory?
That's what they say, right? How many... Yeah. God, I could have sworn you did a show like this, KB. How many terabytes? 2 terabytes on a hard drive?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. It does hold data. I don't know if it was one of the ones. Was it with Aurora?
Could have been.
Maybe. I mean, it does. They say it does hold information, but like, if our brains are such great computers, who's been messing with them? We can't access the information so readily.
Because it gets hacked every day. Every day it gets hacked.
Well, they say that you pull out a memory. Every time you pull out a memory, you're actually, in essence, changing the memory. So that you have a memory, and then I remember when I did this, and then you talk about it, and then you put the memory away. And then you bring it out again, and then you talk about it. But each time that you bring that memory out and you verbalize it, it's a little bit different than it was the time before, and that over time of telling a story, you actually change your own memory. It was just one of those nerdy things I had watched, which I found pretty interesting.
Well, here's the thing about you being nerdy is me remembering, because at one point I would just, which is pretty kind of fucked up because cartoons are fucked up. This house only played cartoons because I don't even like watch TV. So I let the kids just kind of like watch cartoons all the goddamn time. And it was just SpongeBob. He wanted to learn about being a waiter. And he went and he studied, but his brain was like, we don't have enough room. Get rid of everything. And he got rid of everything. And he learned about being a waiter. And he did such exceptional service. The person said, you are such an amazing waiter. What is your name? And his brain went into the file. They had thrown out his name. And his mind exploded. I'm such a That's how it is, right? Like you said.
It is.
But that's why they teach us to repeat things. Words, right? Even when commercials.
Yep.
You know, watch, and then you sing, you know, 177 car for kids, or when you're listening to the radio, it just automatically is like,
well, they do it to drill it in there. I always try to hum over to make up my own song so it doesn't get in. I literally do, like, there's certain things I do that, but I'll be like, la, 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 like, whatever. But yeah, and exactly what it is. Because it does, it seeps right into your brain. It's the repetition, it's the noise of it, right?
Right.
So you counteract it with songs and music?
Say that again?
You counteract all of that with like songs and music?
Yeah, I make up my own stuff. Like when I'm watching certain things like sci-fi, I do a lot of research on nanotechnology, AI, programming stuff. So when I'm watching something, a lot of times I won't watch the actual screen. I'll listen to it because I'm mindful of the subliminal mind control that they have. And the same when I'm hearing certain things, if I feel like it's that, I make up my own song or I sing a song or I do something over what's coming through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I felt like my thoughts were being overheard. Matter of fact, I know my thoughts were being overheard. So I taught one of my kids this game called Random, because like if this 5G technology aims to predict your thoughts by patterns and this other stuff, it's because our brains are wired to associate things. And a way to break that is to reprogram your own mind to just complete randomness. So you become unpredictable. So we play this game called Random, and it's really fun. You can play it with someone else. You say a word, and then the next person has to say a word that's completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. But if they say a word that's related to, you know, the word that you said before, or you hesitate, then you lose. So it teaches you to do it really fast, because you might need to do it really fast.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it's a good mind game.
It's hard. It is really hard, but it's worth it.
Because I'm sure your brain wants to associate.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like I said, honestly, I'm going to stick to it. It's really about getting stories. And even though you said people kind of make up memories as they go, like they embellish it and stuff like that. For me, it's connecting with, and I feel sorry for people that don't have family, because then you're just lost.
Yeah.
And I think this goes back into the fact that there are a lot of like African Americans that, because they don't speak to each other, they don't know like the history of that great grandparent, or like some do, but not a lot. Yeah. You know, a lot of reps, not to make it about food, but recipes or just things, yeah, about like culture. Culture, mm-hmm, is important. I don't care what race you're from, yeah, culture is important. And one of the things my dad used to tell me, and I think this is probably why I don't have a memory, he said to me, I was the best kid because I was always humming to myself and talking to somebody. So his thing is, he would be out playing like dominoes or whatever and drinking his beer with the guys. And I would be in the corner having a full conversation with like a make-believe person.
Wasn't
make-believe to me.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. And I think maybe they just kind of hung around, like almost like drop dead Fred, hung around for a long time for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember that?
We've had friends you talk to. My nephew used to, I know my nephew has gifts. Actually, today's his birthday. When he was little, he used to see shadow people all the time. And a friend of mine's mom is a medium, and I forget the ages she told me, but she told me that there's certain ages. So up until...
But they learn to talk.
Yeah, it's up until a certain age, like a toddler, a little older, and then it comes again in puberty, and then in adulthood, like when you're the most open. Do you know what I mean? Like the,
yeah,
open. So that makes sense, Cindy, that, you know,
you, right, very, and well, you're right about puberty. So by the time I got to about 14, 15, I had this thing. Well, I don't know if it's because I hung around my cousin. She called herself a white witch and stuff. But I used to do the thing where I'd be sitting somewhere and a person would show up, but they wouldn't be here. I could see a human being.
Aberration, right?
Right. And they wouldn't say anything to me. And people would be like, oh, they're not yelling. I'm like, no. And then she would go to like these Baptist church people and go get the candles. You know, they'd be in the back doing Santa Maria or whatever they're doing. And I would walk in with her, and these people would never talk to me. And I kept asking my cousin, because I was polite, I would always say good afternoon and good evening. And they would just look right past me. And one day she says, oh, I asked them why they don't speak to you. And she says, they told her, the thing told them they're not allowed to talk to me.
The what did?
Something told them they're not allowed to speak to me.
Wow.
They're never allowed to, they're just not allowed to speak to me. They're not, now mind you, these are the women that sit in the white, all white, and do spells all day. They're not allowed to talk, fuck with me, nothing. Like, I guess whatever protects me, mm-hmm. says, yeah, she's kind of off limits. Go fuck with somebody else. So don't even, wow. like, they don't
I wonder women. Why. I wonder what was telling, like, what was would tell them not to speak to you. Like, was that in a positive way or in a negative way or
I mean I guess for me it was a positive way because at the end of the day it was just like, oh okay, now I guess I understand. And plus I knew that I could see, and I know it sounds like the movie Five Sense, I could see dead people, but mm-hmm. I knew people. And then I remember going to my cousin going, I don't really like it. I wouldn't bug mm-hmm. out or anything, and she would just tell them to go away. And I would do that. I would say, okay, I'm going to need you to go away. And then shit sounds crazy. And they would kind of just
go.
Mm-hmm. One time, one lady wouldn't leave at all. She just stared at me. But I was in someone else's house, and that's where she lived. And who the fuck was I to tell her to go?
Yeah.
She's been there for the last 1,000 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So
she's like, you're going to be the one to leave.
Right. It's so funny because it was my cousin's house, and I ran upstairs, and I ran to my auntie and I said to her, okay, there is a lady downstairs and I keep telling her to go away and she won't. And then my cousin runs out and she was like, is it a lady in all white with like blue earrings? And I was like, shocked. And she was like, I've been telling mommy, I've been playing with that lady since I was a little girl and mommy has never believed me. Finally, proof. That's what was scary. When you see the same thing, and you've never had that conversation. It's almost like tinnitus. You guys, you know the ringing in your ear? If you get annoyed, and I say to you, KB, my ear's ringing, you'd be like, holy shit, bitch, my ear's ringing too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't have these conversations. People don't tell people what they see, what they hear. And my, that's part of it.
My cousin Stephanie and I had the exact same experience. So the house my mother's in, my grandmother grew up in. So my great grandparents bought the house. Only my family has lived in this house. No one but my blood. And
that's such a beautiful thing.
It is. The house is beautiful. It's on a great property. So there's a lot of really good energy there. So, but this one time, you know, when you're little, it's the house is a little bigger and you just don't want to go upstairs by yourself, right? But the bathroom was upstairs. You know, one bathroom, 7 kids they had, right? So
So my life.
So I went to go upstairs and the bathroom is here. And then right across was a bedroom and you're a little kid. So I left the door open and all of a sudden I seen something in the other room get up, walk across the room and go like into the closet. And I was fucking scared, flying downstairs. Nobody believed me. They're like, it was probably one of your uncles. It was probably this. And I'm like, no, we went into the closet. No. So anyways, fast forward to, I think it was, my grandmother had just passed and then my cousin's other grandmother had passed and we were at that service. And I said to my cousin Stephanie, I was like, why don't you go stay at Nana's house, at the house? She goes, nah, nothing's haunted. I was there one time and I saw a guy get up and walk across the room and I was like, you saw it too? And neither one of us ever knew that until that day that we had seen it. Like, I didn't know she had seen it. And I was like, ah, you saw it too? And she was like, yeah. I was like, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it had to have been someone in my family, but it was still, you're a little kid and you see it go across the room and you're like, nah. It's a ghost when you're a kid. It's a scary ghost. But yeah. So
when I was a kid, the same thing. When I was a kid, my grand.
Uh-oh, you're on.
Intuitive. Can you hear me?
You're like.
Am I here?
You're moving around.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you. It sounds like you're moving a bed.
I move around quite a bit. I tend to be quite busy. But
you're like, there she goes.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. I was like, okay.
I had to step off for a minute. when I was little, my grandma, she was really highly intuitive and clairvoyant, but she never really did talk about it. And I don't talk about it much either. But when I was little, she was the closest person I had to me. And I would see things. And I talked to her about it, and I guess I was a strange kid. My dad said I was gifted or whatever, but I think it was just normal things. And I said, do you see that person over there? And she just says, shh, don't talk about it. And it was like, oh, you know, it just, it hit me in a weird place. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And I didn't talk about it anymore. Like, and I had to learn to differentiate between what was something that you see versus something tangible, you know?
Right.
Most people need to see something to believe it.
Have you ever had anything speak out loud?
I had a lot of weird. Well, I shouldn't say weird. I've had a lot of metaphysical interactions.
Like things moving around?
I had something come through me and manifest itself from the fourth dimension to the third dimension. And to the point where one of my friends saw it a couple days later.
Did you shapeshift?
No, I went to sleep. I had a one of the sleep paralysis. But when I come out of my sleep paralysis, I was in a different realm. And I was in another realm. And while I was... It was in my apartment, but it was a different perspective. And I went through my Moroccan room, and in there I have a bed. And on the bed, which doesn't exist, but in this, there was 100 dolls facing me. And then when I turned to my left, there was like a 7-foot gray swirling mass of a man walking next to me. It scared the fuck out of me. So I tried to get out of my apartment, but I couldn't get out. And then I went to the door, and there was no locks, and there was no doorknobs on the door or anything, and I couldn't get out. And then finally, I just kind of went back into my body and went to sleep. So I told my friends about this nightmare. A couple days later, I was hanging out with Carlos at his house, and all of a sudden, he called me Fruit Fly. And he was like, Fruit Fly, that thing's behind you. He's like, leave your ghost at home. And I was like, what? He's like, that thing, that spirit is behind you. I was like, what the fuck do you mean it's behind me? Like, I was like, what do you mean? And then I had talked to a few people. And then when I had actually talked to a friend of mine, he explained to me that and this was a time where I wasn't at my best mentally health or anything. And he said to me that being used my low vibrations to manifest itself from the fourth dimension into me and through me into the third dimension.
Well.
So... shit's real.
Yeah.
You know what? I just realized, y'all. What did I say to you? I said to you, you came up with the topic of the illusion of freedom. And all I kept thinking about all day is the illusion of fear. And henceforth, we just had a conversation of everything that was supposed to make us fearful and scared of the other side. And I don't think we were. It's an illusion.
Wow. Right. Because I was going to say that I had a time in my life where I was going through, I want to guess, how do I say it? Like training, I guess, of how to deal with things that I was seeing and encountering, and these beings, this Kamal, whatever, these things that have now manifest through other people, how to deal with that spiritually and energetically. And we have to just keep ourselves in a high vibration and learn how to fight it, how to transmute these things.
So when you say a high vibration, I'm going to devil's advocate a little bit. Everything is not sunshine and roses.
No, absolutely. It is absolutely not.
What do we do bad days?
Not fearful. Empowered. The opposite of fear is empowerment. There has been a lot of people who say, well, the opposite of fear is love. Well, not just that, you know, like, I think the New Age in a lot of ways has put people's heads in the sand and made them compliant, which is just false light. It's keeping them enslaved. So.
Well, does this bring on a certain entitlement?
What do you mean?
I mean, because people think, you know, with this, and we say New Age, but nothing new under the sun, because I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure the hippie, remember the hippie movement where love is free and, you know, Alibaba and all that shit. And so no disrespect to Tina Turner and them. But, you know, there was that moment where everything was just free love. And then that turned into something else, spiraled out of control, crazy ass drug use and people at motherfucking methadone clinics when they were done the free love.
they should have just kept it to some simple natural medicines and not abused it. Anything can become a drug if you abuse it. These medicines were put here for us.
And that's the thing. If you think about it, right? And I wasn't born till later, but if you think about it, if you were doing the free love moment, which was like a good hippie movement, didn't that jump into the disco era? Didn't it just speed up? And I love disco music, by the way, but didn't that speed shit up? And a lot of people just died and AIDS came in and
not it was an attack
people, but because it was introduced by our government.
Yeah,
it was an attack. Drugs.
They brought in the AIDS, HIV.
Yep.
Sure
people
did.
Were
happy.
Right.
It's funny you say that, because I swear to you, today I was thinking about a friend of mine who, when I was a kid, he died of AIDS, and it didn't make any sense for him to even contract it. Do you know what I mean? It made zero sense for him to contract it, and how bad it was for him. Like, he went blind. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. And it didn't make sense. But when I was thinking about it today, I was like, I really believe the more knowledge I come into, the more I believe like my area was a government test site. You know, I mean, I've lost in excess of 55 of my friends that I grew up with. That's a lot.
That's a lot
that we can name. Do you know what I mean? And a good deal of them are from drug overdoses or, you know, like just really weird circumstances. One street, Jeffrey died of an aneurysm. Larry died of cancer. Jackie died of a drug overdose. And Sean died of AIDS. On one street. These are four of my friends I grew up with. And I'm like, how does this happen? Unless, because when I was growing up, I mean, drugs were everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, and it was, and the more I learned, it's just been some big government experiment. Just messing with this.
Right, control.
It's funny that you say that. When I was telling a person, you know, at this time, I kind of go work out, right? And have my bodyguard that walks with me. My 70-year-old bodyguard that walks with me. He was telling me that they were in the music business while he was in Germany. And he had this guy, played the guitar, really dope bass player, played with a lot of bands. He used to always do mushrooms. And one day he said we were at like a gig. And the next day they was like, Mike's dead. And he was like, how? Mushrooms. Really?
What?
I didn't even know the thing.
You remember what happened to Prince?
Hanging himself because he's been taking mushrooms his whole life. So my whole thing was, what was in the mushrooms? What was given to him?
Yeah, they had to.
Remember what happened to Prince? What happened to Michael Jackson? What happened to a lot of these celebrities who came out to speak truth?
They spoke out about things.
I know.
Michael was like, these people are evil. They're demonic. I don't even think Michael's dead, but forgive me.
Dave.
Well, I'll tell you, I wanted to be a singer for a really long time. And I realized that the industry was not going to let me in. I realized that.
Well, you could sell your soul and get in.
I don't even think they want it. I don't even think they could buy my soul.
I think they would take any soul that they could get.
They would. Well, it's not about souls. They take souls and then they got to fill all your holes. This whole topic.
Yeah.
Now, we always leave that part out, right? Because we're talking about the soul. What about the physical body? The shit that the torment, the things they have to do to you, the sexual deviancy and all do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because now, once you attack the physical and now you've fucked up the mental, what's left? But your soul. Your soul is dead. Your spirit's dead. The mind and the body has been ripped apart.
Energy's been taken.
You can't even live with your fucking self.
Energy's been taken. It's been extracted out. It's true.
I feel like I was targeted my whole life by just entities, spiritual crap, physical, spiritual attacks, like all the time.
God, let me ask you, have you ever felt different? I mean, everyone says it, but have you ever, as a kid, when did it start for you, where you felt just not of this world. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, I guess when my granny said, don't talk about it, because other people couldn't see it.
How old are you?
How old was I then?
Yeah.
I guess I was about 4.
Damn, you can remember.
which is crazy because I'm diagnosed ADHD and sometimes I have problems remembering what I did 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so you went to a psychiatrist and that's what they diagnosed you, or was that a regular doctor?
Well, I went looking for help. I wasn't diagnosed as a child. Okay. I went to a doctor asking for help because I was like, I can't, you know, keep up with things because I had so much going through my mind at one time, trying to remember to pay the bills and this, that. I couldn't keep up without meds anymore.
Now, question, were you in your 20s, 30s? Was it later on after you had kids before?
After I had kids. I was in my 20s.
Okay. You know what's so funny is because even me, when I was like sometime in college and I just didn't feel like I fit in. Do you get what I'm saying? I remember like, but I've always been like that, like just kind of like, here's the thing. I know this about myself. I'm a little bit codependent, so I don't like hanging around a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kind of want like one source to kind of focus on it. I'm weird like that. I focus like a fucking lioness and that's it. You know, but I actually went to two psychiatrists because I just was just so depressed at college. I was in the dorms and it was just, I wasn't with my family. And I went to two psychiatrists, one off of campus, somewhere in Manhattan, and one on campus. And guess what they did for me? Absolutely nothing. And they couldn't even diagnose me.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I find that interesting because, you know, I felt like I was kind of weird. But then they were like, oh, you're just, you know what they told me? What's interesting? They told me I wanted to be babied.
What? No, I think you're just sensitive and picking up on other people's shit and taking it and not knowing what to do with it because it wasn't yours.
Say that, KB, what you're about to say?
Isn't that interesting that they say you wanted to be babied and yet for the first 3 days you weren't babied?
I didn't. There was no.
I'm just saying. To connect what you were saying. Right. I mean,
there's no diagnosis for that because it wasn't like the first 5 years of my life or some shit like that, right? It was a big death, you know?
But who doesn't want to be babied sometimes?
I mean, I think everybody wants a little love.
Exactly.
But I did think that was interesting, right? I did. Yeah. But no, I didn't. No one gave me a diagnosis. Nobody said, here's a pill. No one said it was more about, we'll come back for another session and pay your copay. And then I kind of was like, okay, they're making money off of me. But I think for me, it was me going, I got to get to know myself.
Right.
I got to do, it's not about me sitting and talking to someone that I got to pay that doesn't give two shits about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a paycheck. It's really about me saying, like, if you said something to me, I would go, okay, wait a second. Let me get out my feelings. Let me get out. You know, I go through this whole thing in my head because I'm that sensitive. Whereas most people just, you know how people stop talking to people, but they're not woman or man enough to say, KB, I don't like the way you said that. Now, it's so funny not to bring it up because you don't know each other and she said what she said. And then you said, oh, no, you don't know me. But that's what I do with my kids. When they fight, I don't pay. They could come in here and be WWE Raw, and I will sit here and have a conversation with y'all because I do not get between people and their shit. I promise you. Mm-hmm. You gotta figure it out. It's okay to butt heads. It's okay to say, I don't like that you said that. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
I don't like conversation. If I come to the point of confrontation, it's like probably going to be a literal life or death match because it's just not worth the energy.
Here's my thing, John. I think sometimes it's a lot of times we're pushing shit down all the time. And then when we flare up, the wrong person gets it. The kids get it. The husband gets it. The boyfriend, the girlfriend, the wrong people get it. And sometimes you have to vomit every once in a while and say, blah. You get what I'm saying? Get it out. Yeah, I think that's the only way for us to be able to manifest the right way. If you're going to manifest and you've got all that gook from all that shit, the things you never told your aunt and your uncle and this one and that one for hurting you, if you let that shit sit here, you will become a fucking monster. I promise you.
I'm probably a monster. I am guilty of that.
I'm not going to lie to you. In all my niceness, I'm sure I'm a monster somewhere inside too. I have
I try to take out, I don't talk about a lot of things with people, but I try to find positive outlets for it. And my thing is, I will go in my backyard and I will do ceremony and I will dance and I will lay on the ground and I will talk to mama. I will talk to the earth. I will speak to spirit and allow myself to open to that. But I don't usually open to a lot of people.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
but I'm hearing I think in growth, just me and you as an example, we don't know each other, to me it came across confrontational earlier, and I just wanted to set boundaries between us, but we're fine and we're talking now. But I feel like it's okay to stand your ground too. Do you know what I mean? In all honesty and all respect, if you really felt the way that you felt and you wanted to tell me to stay in my lane or stay in my place, I don't disrespect someone for saying that. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like, I don't know, and I could be reading this wrong, but in your quest and in your spiritual being, of being a getting it out and connecting with Mother Earth, that sometimes you don't allow yourself the friction with other people, and so that friction's there sometimes, and that's how we, so if we're three individual women right now having a conversation, we're very different. You know what I mean? We handle things very differently, but if we can get through the friction and acknowledge the frictions, then you know what I mean? Then the next time the friction's there, we have a different understanding of it, overstanding of it, I should say. Right? Does that make sense?
I guess so. This is my first time on an interview and I don't even want to be on camera.
Well, here's the thing. On the Wake Up Radio, we're really good at, and I will say this, I really love the fact that I've got different people, and I always tell people, come on and speak their truth. And I might not agree with everything you're saying, but I want to hear what you have to say. That's the problem. People don't listen to each other because sometimes growing means I don't know every fucking thing. And you might tell me something right now, and I'm going to take it and be like, holy shit, I never thought about it like that. Because we don't know everything. Right up till when we die at 90 or 1,000, we still don't know everything.
Well, what I was trying to go to at that point was that, you could say it's never going to happen with anything. And then in essence, you have put that out into a spell, cast a spell, so to say. But we need to break a lot of these spells. And the way we can break this collective spell is to collectively not participate in the system. If we were to collectively not participate in the system for even a week, the entire house of cards falls and things change. And I think that's what we have to get to. And I've been censored, I've been shut down, I've been harassed off most social media platforms by whoever it is. I'm not quite to the point to name names, but I may soon.
Guess what?
I think it needs to happen. Election day. Just full on boycott of gasoline and refusal to buy, sell, work. Just shut it all down. Shut it down 2020.
Did we just change conversations?
Kind of. But that was what I was trying to go to when you thought that I was being confrontational. That was where I was trying to go with that. I was trying to break those spells.
Okay. I mean, it's funny because KB, you've done shows where you talked about words are spells, and we learn grammar from the grimoire.
No, I mean, I know what she's saying. There's a page. It's called Trick by the Light. And language is spells, and it even talks about how the letter S is snakes, Every time you say something with an S, it's a snake. So I told, I believe me, I totally understand what you're saying about words and spells and stuff like that. Like I'm not in disagreement with you about that at all. I guess I was just trying to say that in our process to get to an agreement, sometimes we disagree, and that in itself is just, you know, it's a growth, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm digressing.
Right. In order to get that to happen, though, we have to be able to spread that message and share that information, because without collective effort, it wouldn't work. But that is the only way that I can say physically in this realm to just bust the system wide open is to pick a day and then just collectively not do it. But to spread the information is really difficult, because as soon as you start saying these things, you get stalked and you get, so I was reading that comment. To spread this information is hard because you get censored, because, well, for me, they've been watching me for quite a while. I don't even want to show my face.
We're always open. We're always here. On the Wake Up Radio is open. You can always, whenever you feel like speaking, we can forever and ever. And then we're going to put it in the ethers. And when we're dead and gone, but we're never really dead and gone because we're still here. You're great, 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 great. Can hear it. You're great. You're getting saying. So honestly, you know what I was going to say to you? Because after reading that comment, out of the blue, I don't know if you see, I wouldn't ever have to have known that it's your first interview, Jaw the Magic Dragon. You're doing awesome. Speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. And I'm going to tell you something, because I know you have children too, but I'm going to tell you something that I've always told my children. I didn't have anyone to really, my dad kind of, but like much later in life, not when I needed him to tell me, because he was on a coke binge earlier in my life, but he got better later. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
I always tell my children that when you are feeling more, when you're feeling a little bit intimidated, or when you're feeling like, I don't know if I'm out of place, you got to go, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to say what comes from here and here. And I'm just going to fucking leave it on the motherfucking table. Yes, and that's what I tell them. And then I said, even if you want to cry, you wait till you fucking get home. You don't cry in front of those sons of bitches, because they will take it for weakness. That's how I talk to my children. And it's funny because people go, that's rough. No, it's not, because no one takes advantage of them. And I think the reason I was like that is because when I was young, I was abused, and there were things I didn't say because I was like a little mouse and afraid to speak up. And I said, when I have children, holy shit, I'm going to make people go, yeah, I'm not fucking with those kids. They got big fucking mouths.
I used to.
I
used to be very, very loud.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I was talked over and not listened to, and people just discredited me. And so I was just like, I just got to the point where I'm like, okay, they're not fucking listening. Let them be the victim of their own self, because I just walked away from it.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have to say, as someone who's been speaking truths and about oddities, when I tell you oddities, for a while now, I've heard and listened to a lot of things and been called a lot of things, a lot. And the only thing that matters is what you think of you. It's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is what you think of you. And if you think of highly of yourself, it doesn't matter. No one else should ever be able to have the power to silence what you want to say, ever, ever.
Well, they're going to see it is what it is anyway. They can listen to me or not, you know?
But that's the thing, right? You are this magical being, this magical spirited being that nothing is by, what is it? Did they say it's coincidence?
This conversation. Coincidence means to coincide.
what is the word when they say, oh, you know, everything happens and like this is meant to happen. This has been written. Mm-hmm. Us three here having this conversation has been written already. I don't care what multi-universe you're in. You just happen to show up 3 years later, but we're here.
Well, I'm not even sure how to say what I want to say.
No, say what you want to say. Hell yeah, because think about it. Did we manifest you or did you manifest us?
Y'all must have manifest me because I'm just out. I'm just here. Like, I'm just here. You reached out to me.
I always feel like I've manifested KB. I always feel like I manifested Cam because I was at a point in my life where I was so into certain things, but you don't have anyone to speak to because you can't speak to your family. Your family thinks you're fucking nuts. You're like, and someone say when the government's taking over and I'm in the car and it sounds like crickets.
Right. So how you put information out there, how you present it is key to how they're going to receive it, I guess.
Some programming can't be broken through, though.
A lot of the reason, God, this goes into like, you ever think about Ancestry.com? What's the whole purpose? Why everything is being documented? You know, perhaps they're looking for bloodlines, certain bloodlines. Like me, I refuse to have anything to do with any of it anymore. I refuse to do the DNA test. Yeah, I'm Native American, but I look white. So I'm just going to let people think what they want. I'm never going to do the DNA test to prove it. Fuck them. They're not getting that from me. But
I heard that they can't really DNA test anyone who has Native American blood.
I don't know. I think they could tell you like genetic markers, but they can't tell you exactly. Well,
not even that. Here's the thing. If you went to 123 DNA and Ancestry ABC and blah, 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 .com, you would get back three papers with all types of motherfucking answers, and they never look alike. So let that make sense.
Oh, wow. Craziness, ain't it? Just
Cloning.
Why would anybody want to clone somebody? What for? Like, what the fuck is the point of that?
They want your information.
Yeah.
And at one point, maybe it's, here's the thing. If drinking blood is a thing and blood is something that you have to give, what if you're just feeding someone?
Oh, I think the blood banks are on the rule the world.
Your Red Cross?
Yeah, I think it's the blood bank that should fund the world.
Well, isn't that where they get adrenochrome is from the blood?
Yeah.
Life force within the blood. Mm-hmm. You were talking about stem cells. They take stem cells from aborted fetal cells, but if they were really smart, they would just be taking women's period blood or even breast milk because there's stem cells there too.
Isn't that in Marina Abramovic's little spirit cooking thing?
Yeah, a little breast milk, some semen, and some blood. Mix it in a pot and pour it.
I've noticed that, like, information they can take and they'll just use it for good or bad. Like, you could take anything and use it for good or use it for evil, and they choose to use it for evil.
Yeah,
it's really fucked up.
The demon.
Well, here's the thing. Everything's so intricate. I was watching something and someone said, you know, even when you sign your name, they said you should never lead with your first letter of your name. You should always, so I'm Cindy, I would say I-N-D-Y, and then I would put the S last. You never put it in first because it's something about the intentions of you writing your name. That's what makes things binding, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're sealing a contract every time you write your name, every time you write your name.
That's why they have certain colored pens. That's why they tell. I don't remember the specific things, but that's why that most legal things have you sign in black ink because it's more along the lines of a spiritual thing. So red means something. They all have a different spiritual meaning, and that's why they have you use different colors for different things.
Break the contracts. People forget they can't break it. You can break a contract.
How do you break the contract?
You just break the contract. You don't do what you're told.
Basically.
It sounds stupid because it's so simple, but it really is. simple.
You know what's you know, contract would be together
to just break the straw man.
Let's break it.
You want to know something funny? We're live. But you know what's so funny? Remember how I had signed the contract a year ago? Because we were going to do all this wonderful stuff. And I had gotten in Bester. And do you know what the last thing he said to me?
What?
I should make you finish out your contract.
What?
And you know what I answered? What I told him? Huh. I said, man, oh, it's not enough. You've wasted my time. Now you want to rape me on top of it? He was like, my God, why would you say it like that? I said, because that's what you
do. That's what it is.
You were to force me to finish my contract. You're now raping me. I said to him, you're no better than a fucking Jew. And he got quiet.
I'm not confrontational until it comes to like shit like that when somebody's like, you're going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I might not come in and fight with anyone or argue because it's not worth my energy. But when someone's coming at me like that, I am that type to get in their face and say, make me. And at that point, I'm ready to fight. And I will fight. I have no problem with being violent. When the time is right, violence is fine. It's sometimes necessary. So, swing out of here. That's a joke. Don't swing out of here.
No, that's cool. You can fuck people up, right? KB used to, she was like when you were a little girl, she used to beat up boys. Actually, KB was a bouncer at one point. Could you imagine her throwing around a man that's 6'4", a muscle bound dude? She'll do it.
That's hot. Me
and someone's fucking back of their leg and take them down in a heartbeat.
That's hot. Bite them.
Yeah, well, yeah. Growing up, we had it was a lot of fights, you could say.
Yeah, I try not to unless it's really necessary. But yeah, that's actually an aspect of love. That's an aspect of love. In some situations, to fight because you have to fight for what's important.
They definitely do. Someone said, I don't think that contract can be broken once you get that. What's the blood thing? Here's the funny thing. Once they put the baby's blood feet on the goddamn papers, what's your birth certificate? Here's my thing. I got my
birth certificate.
No one has their original
birth certificate. No, but unless you've gotten out of the straw man, you don't have your original birth certificate. You have a copy of it. Your own birth certificate you have a copy of.
I've got it's copy now because I lost one of it. I made a copy of the thing.
It's not the original. No one has it. Not unless you have to apply for it. What is it you're supposed to do? Become, with children, you're supposed to become power of attorney and what is the other? There's two things you're supposed to do with their birth certificate. So basically you own your children and the state doesn't. And one of the things is that you have to apply to get their actual birth certificate. So you have to, because it's a legal and binding contract, you have to obtain the original contract in order to own your children.
Unless you don't have your child at the hospital.
Does your child have a birth certificate?
I actually had two at home and I had to apply for birth certificates if I wanted to get birth certificates, but
so your children don't exist?
If I had chosen not to, I guess they wouldn't have a straw man.
No, I'm saying, but they have birth certificates.
Yeah.
So then, yeah. So then the government owns their thing. So then the government owns them.
Well, see, that was I had to think about it in two ways, you know, what if someone comes and steals your child?
They can't own them.
But I'm saying, if you have no record of you even giving birth to that child, you have no way to say that that is your child. You know what I mean? So that someone can snatch your baby and you be like, well, that's my child. Okay, well, where's the birth certificate to prove that you are the mother? You know what I mean?
I'm missing the point between that and the parent owning it versus the government.
I'm saying if they want to come and take your kids, they're going to come and take them by force anyway.
Not if you own them, not if you know the laws, not if you legally can stand your ground. What they don't show you often is that if you know your legal rights and you're able to stand your ground, that they have to stand down. It's not, you know, it's not a matter of power. It's a matter of knowledge, basically. And a lot of us fall in our own stupidity for not knowing these laws that we have to abide ourselves to. So when we become knowledgeable of it, and then we change it. That's how it changes. So if you own your child by law, legally, corporate law, they can't just come and take him. They can't do that. They just can't.
Well, I've seen the police and
for people who have a birth certificate and the government owns them, right?
Have you ever seen the movie The Room?
The Room?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
It sounds so fucking familiar. I might have seen it in the kids kind of flashing through the phones.
this girl gets kidnapped and raped, and she's held in a room for until this kid is like 5 years old. So there's no record of this kid. And she comes up with a plan, and the child escapes, and then he gets help, and they come and find her, and then they go back home. But, you know, long story short, like, I don't know. I guess you can look at it either way, that the government owns your child, but
it's not an either way. It is that either the government owns the birth certificate and owns your child, or the parent does. And the people who have their children taken away, I'm willing to say that they lean on the side that the government owns their children and not them. It's not an either way. It's not, they're extremely different things. So one is you're in control of your life and your spirituality and you're being a natural being, and the other is a corporate being.
Okay. Well, let's, okay. So there's children that come across the border with auntie, uncle. Right. And they have no birth certificate to say that I am this to this child. So there have been a lot of cases where children have been taken away from family members and put into concentration camps because there was no paperwork to prove that they.
Digression. I'm sorry. I'm not connecting a digression between what we were saying and this.
Because there was no paper to proof that they, I guess, how you say ownership of this child, that the government stepped in and took them.
Yeah.
Oh, but the immigrants, you're saying because the immigrants and they're not from here, the government had
they obviously taken them. They were not born in the USA. They have no birth certificate here.
Connection between a parent owning the paperwork and their child and the government? I'm not talking about children coming across the border. I'm talking about Cindy or yourself or another parent. What we're not talking about that. This is an individual basis.
Well, because quite honestly, fuck the papers and fuck the government too.
How are you going to do that if you're a commodity?
I honestly, I don't feel like I'm a commodity.
But you are.
I don't pay tax. I don't work. I don't really buy shit.
If you operate with a license, you are a commodity. That's
and
a commodity. Natural person. The United States Supreme Court actually says that you do not need a license to travel. We as individuals travel, we do not drive. So you do not need a license to travel. But you do if you're doing commerce or if you're a straw man. If you're in the corporate system as a corporate slave. And I haven't gotten out of it yet, so I definitely belong in that class, but it is what it is.
What's your plan to get out of it?
Learn, read the books I got, and take the steps I need to get out.
What do you think that entails?
Oh, I know what it entails. I have friends who do it. I have a lot of friends who've already done it.
What does it look like? What is someone who lives outside of that system? What does that life look like?
It's a free individual, so they don't have to abide by corporate laws, meaning that they don't have to provide social security numbers. They don't have that attached to them. And in fact, their social security number, I believe, accesses a different type of a fund account. So they become, wait a minute. So instead of being the debtor, they become the creditor. So they operate, instead of operating in the public, now they operate in a private realm, in a private sector, I believe. So that entitles them to an entirely different lifestyle, an entirely different credit rating. So there's a lot that changes, but you don't have an overlord anymore because you're no longer the straw man, which means the number on the back of the birth certificate is on the New York Stock Exchange making money. That's a slave. They were all slaves. And I mean, how there's, it's what it is. And the reason that they can come and take your kids is because you don't own them. No one owns, no one, everyone's tricked into the birth certificate. Most people don't know. And until, you know, there's very few people who know until after the fact, but that's what it is. It's a legal and binding contract. I think you have 3 days to recant on it once you sign it. But once you sign it, then that is ownership. You're signing over. And then that child becomes, it goes from a living birth to a birth certificate, which is now kind of like legally dead and lost at sea. It's not even a living soul anymore. It's just a certificate of birth. It's not even the being.
How would you prove that your child is your child, though? If someone kidnapped your child, per se, how would you prove that it was yours? What would you do if someone kidnapped your child? You'd call the police.
But you're giving the government access to kidnap your child right now. Who are you going to call?
What are you going to do if someone steals your child?
If you're going to live on the premise of that, then live on the premise of that. You're saying fuck the system. I'm asking a question.
What will you do if someone kidnaps your child?
I'm showing you there's a way to fuck the system. And you want to throw a hypothesis about someone stealing your child. I don't know how to answer that question. Let's see. How would you be able to do that? Maybe you would have footprints or baby little when they were born that you actually took their little prints in ink, and you could do it every year. And that would suffice that you've had a record of this child living. I mean, if you want me to think in a logical sense, I can come up with a ton of answers. You know, you would have pictures over the child's growth. You would be able to prove that. There is a lot of ways that you can prove a child is your child. But if you don't own your child and someone else does, they can take it.
Okay.
All right, ladies. You guys do spirited debates. So, the fear of... No, not the fear. I keep going back to the fear. The illusions of... Ja, what is it?
The illusion of freedom.
Yes. There we go.
Do you think that laws give us freedom?
Laws?
Do laws give us freedom?
Oh, God. God, that's like a 20, what's that? A 22 catch. That's how Americans say it. Yeah. that's what it's called. A 22 catch? A catch 22?
Catch 22.
Yeah. Guess that's what laws are.
What are laws if no one abides by them?
What are they? If nobody,
I would be willing to say that they're broken spells.
Yeah. It's so funny that you say that, because there are laws that are still in existence from way back from when they started writing laws that they never took off the books. Did you know that in, I can't remember what state, there's a law that says you can't eat ice cream on Sunday.
Ha! That's crazy.
That's how intricate laws are. They tell you what and what not to do. Technically, it's the first social media, if you really think about it. That's what laws are. Telling you what community guidelines are. The fact that there's a law that says you cannot have fucking ice cream on Sundays is amazing. You could go to jail for that. You cannot whistle in an elevator. That's another law.
Who makes these laws?
The same assholes that we vote for.
This is very true. Do you? I feel like in this age, we should be able to read. And not only that, but to contribute to writing, agree upon, and vote upon the laws ourselves. As a people in a society, if we are going to claim any type of democracy.
Because do we really live in a democracy? I remember someone saying we live
in
a republic, or we live in the capitalistic society. You know,
we live on a free range slave farm. it is possible to live outside of the system, but in the eyes of the system, it makes you a criminal. I mean, it's illegal to collect rainwater. And if you want to live off-grid, the court system, the police, or whoever, the slave masters, are going to do everything within their power to bring you back to the system to make you a slave. No, you can't have a well, because the city ordinance, blah, 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 blah. Well, who is the city? Who are these people? We need to name names.
Well, and that's the thing. When you say that, there was a man, and actually, I want to say the first year we did a show, and I have to find it again. There was a man who was arrested for collecting rainwater, and his neighbor's house is on fire. Well, they live in a town where everything's fucking far the fuck apart, because, you know, he decides to get the rainwater he collected, and he puts the fire out. Well, I tell you, no good deed goes undone. They took that man to jail so quick because he had collected that rainwater. How dare he not put out the fire and save the house? Right. Where did you get this water? How dare you? You're not allowed to do that. They put that man in jail.
You know what gives power to these laws? Because we abide by them. Because if we refuse to abide by them collectively, now everything has to be collective. The problem that we have today is that everybody's on this individual stuff, but and we're completely disconnected, and we don't want to, you know, participate collectively, but we're going to have to. You know, if nobody pays the rent, what's going to happen? You know,
like
if everybody,
like
if everybody pulls out a dollar and burns it, are they going to come and arrest all of us?
No, but let me, okay, you saying that, not to be like a dick bag or anything, the quarantine, a lot of people lost their jobs. They couldn't, I mean, they weren't essential. Right? The cattle wasn't essential because uh-huh. They knew what they were doing. Everybody had to stay inside tight with masks on their face while they watched the fucking news. so those people went 3-4 months. So my son said to his father, oh, you and mommy can buy me anything I want because Cuomo says you don't have to pay any bills or any of your mortgage or your rent till August. We said to him, little boy, that is not how that works. But the governor said you don't have to pay any bills. Well, guess where those people are at? Those people on September 30th, 19 to motherfucking 25 million people are being evicted. Families, not people, families. Where are you going to put 25 million fucking people that are being evicted?
They don't care.
On the streets? Because I don't know about you. Wherever you guys are, there are so much more homeless. I've never seen so much homeless people. I don't know.
Too.
Older. I don't know what's going on.
I see a lot in Boston. I saw like a young college kid walking with all of his stuff the other day. I was like, oh shit, man. And I've seen them in some of the areas, like the areas where some of them are getting exponentially bigger.
Yeah, it's really just, it's just woo. It's, mm-hmm. And then everywhere you go, it's like, can I have a dollar? Can I have a, me personally, I don't, you know, like if I have something, whatever, but 9 times out of 10, like if I'm the kids, you know, my kids still eat garbage. So cause they're teenagers and they don't care what mommy talks about on here. And they'll be like, oh, I want whatever. And I'm at the drive-thru and the guy says to me, I'm really hungry. Now, if someone tells me they're hungry, I can't just turn my back on them. I just, right. I'll look for change or something. Or like if I have a dollar, a lot of times if I don't have any money, I'll actually say, well, I'm going to order something. I can order something for you because I know you're going to eat it. Well, I assume you're going to eat it. I did once watch a man pour out the whole fucking cup of soda after I gave. I said, okay, he's mentally ill, but that's cool. He wanted to feed the ground. I gave the man $5 and he literally turned the other way. And I said, Lord, I just bought him his crack.
Yeah.
Yay me.
So you do what you feel led to do, because sometimes you can step in the way of somebody's karma or their lesson. But, you know, a lot of people just really aren't connected to their conscious anymore. It's really right. Crazy.
Well, let me be honest with you. I once had a friend in college, even though he took my damn fridge and didn't bring it back the next semester. He said to me, his mother was on heroin his whole life. And he said, by the time he had turned about 8 or 9, he had to go pick up his mom's heroin. Because he said to me, watching my mother try to get off of heroin was painful because she was in so much pain. Because apparently she went through a lot of abuse, right? And sometimes as human beings, we take a lot as a child. And then when you get older, we can't really. Because like I said, sometimes you suppress so much that escapism is all you can do. No hate or anything. This is how you want to love yourself. These are meat suits anyway. So he said he would always go and buy the heroin. And he said one of the things he realized, he says, you know, he'd smoke weed and stuff, but never do anything too hard. He said to me, emotions are real. Emotions are so real that you would take a needle and stick them in your veins every fucking day. Mm-hmm. That's how much pain you're in, that this needle makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. I can't be upset at people because my dad's been in and he got off, and my dad's like an amazing person. But when you kind of know someone who has had battle with, I mean, true addiction, we're not talking about a puff here, a little snore here, whatever. Yeah. We're talking about true addiction. What was life like so bad?
You wanted to get help.
It's like even with alcoholism, what happened that you cannot fucking put the baby bottle down?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't judge people. And when they're ready to stop, they'll stop. But you can't really force people. Because you might drive them to, do we really drive people to OD? Or is there time up because their livestock number is, it's not escalating. They're not going to work. So it's like, let's get rid of this stock.
Maybe both.
Interesting conversation. I got a phone call I don't know, 5 hours ago, and I didn't recognize the voice. And she's like, you know, she told me her name, and I was like, oh, hi. And as she sounded upset, and I was like, what's the matter? And she's like, I just wanted to tell you, I don't think you know that Joey died. And I was like, what do you mean? And it's her nephew. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, she's like, he was down at like he got hooked on drugs and alcohol, and he died in end of September out on the streets. I just literally found out a few hours ago, and in the conversation, and she was saying to me, and she's like, you know, I knew him 20 years. You know what I mean? She's like, you know him. You know him since he was little. And she's like, you knew he was a good kid. You know what I mean? And it's so hard because that effect of the drug and alcohol, it just takes some people. Do you know what I mean? Like it, and we say that, like, what happened? And she's like, you know, when he was a little kid, he used to sit and look out the window. I always used to wonder what he was thinking about. Do you know what I mean? And then you wonder what happened, like what happened? At what point, you know, what was the turn that changed you from having a family, you know what I mean? And for you to change in such a way, and he changed in a huge way. But interesting conversation, just because I just got the phone call. Wow.
I guess sometimes it's the feeling. Sometimes it's energy you feel, and then you start talking about it, not even realizing that this other person is going through their own type of thing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do come across that, and I do think to myself, like, you know, you don't know what. And men, especially men, right? Because we're all women. Women are allowed to express themselves, no matter what we feel. We are allowed to express ourselves when we're pissed off, when we're feeling whatever we're feeling. But when men have a certain feeling, I'm sorry, I'm going to mute you because you're moving. When they're having a certain feeling, they're told not to say how they feel.
Yeah.
And I think this is like, this crushes the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that crushes the spirit.
I think it does. I watched Spotlight, and Spotlight is a documentary on the pedophiles, the priests in Boston. Mm-hmm. And it talks about there was 1,000 priests in Boston accused of molesting children. 1,000 priests, right? And it goes all the way to the Vatican, cardinal law. And anyways, in this,
you say owls? Did you say owls? I'm sorry.
No. What was I'm trying to think of what word sounded like it.
I thought I heard you say owls and priest. I'm sorry.
No. It's she's from Boston. Boston. Oh. Oh, 1,000 priests.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1,000 priests were accused of molesting children, and in it, one of the first to come forward, like, in it was the actor was a kid that I grew up with in my part of Boston. And remember, I told you that I lost a lot of friends, a lot of them to drugs. Well, and I didn't realize this until I watched this. And in it, he had said that the priest would prey on children like who lost a parent or a father figure and stuff like that. So this one, his dad had died, and the priest kind of stepped in to be a good priest, and he took him out for an ice cream, and then he grabbed him, right? And he wound up using drugs and overdosing. Do you know what I mean? And it's this, like, who are they going to tell? Do you know what I mean? Like, you grow up, like, so my friends, like, you know, we grew up in Boston. We grew up, like, you know, I mean, it was fun. We had a lot of fun, but you had to be, you just had to be. Do you know what I mean? And so who are you going to tell at that point? You know, no one was telling anyone anything. So then you turn to, you know, what's your escape? And especially for, you know, young men, you know?
I think a lot of boys are molested more than we know. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been in relationships where, and I'm gonna keep it real because I don't think, I'm not sure if you ladies have had this. You know, when you're dating someone, I always feel like you should ask questions and get to know them.
Yeah.
A lot of times in relationships, people don't really know each other. They know nothing about each other. Okay. I always tell people, whenever I'm dating, I would go, I don't want to hear all the good shit about you. Tell me all the fucked up shit now so I can know if I can deal with you. Let's just get all the fuck shit out the way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's your porn collection look like? Because that'll tell me what the fucking type of shit you're into. Also, then when you get into a deeper conversation where you talk about your childhood, because I feel like you should. I think it's therapeutic when you're dating someone to talk about your childhood. Because that way you'll know if you can agree or what works for you. And God forbid you're with this person and you're thinking this person respects your values, you want to be cremated and you die, and now they want to do what the fuck they want to do. But if you had learned what they were, you know, religiously or whatever the fuck, and so I said all that and I lost my fucking point. Oh, I'm turning into KB.
I think I know why I heard owl.
Why you heard owl?
You know, you ever seen the owl statues and the symbolism that goes back to like was Moloch or whatever, and child sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that these priests and people who were abusing children within the church were operating under some kind of demonic influence that preyed upon child energy.
Hmm.
It's still happening today, like.
So wait, is Moloch part of like a Catholic thing, or no? That's totally separate. Forgive me.
No, Moloch, but
children. He's the devil. Moloch's the devil, the demon who ate children.
Okay.
Okay. And children's sacrifices.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the statue of him is with children on him, and he's like, I don't know if he's holding up a child, or I don't know if that's right, or if I'm just thinking it is.
And now I remember why I said what I said was basically that we need to, when we're dealing with men, that we need to have those conversations so they could express themselves. Because I've dated people that were like, eventually they kind of said to me, you know, when I was 8, my mom left me with the painter, and then the man grabbed me and he tried to take it from behind. You know, they don't go into deep whatever, but you kind of get like understand why there's this self-sabotage. You kind of get why he overdrinks a little bit. You kind of get why he's like, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, I get it. No judgment or anything because he was a kid and there was no one there to protect him.
It's
relatable.
Tough. It's tough.
There you go. All right, ladies, that's it. Any last words? We've been on for 2:17. Well, all right. What a show.
What a show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Love you.
I love you too. Where'd she go? She disappeared. KB, the effects you have on people. You know what's so interesting about me, and it's so funny, because even last night when T-Jinx and Nasaba, I'm just kind of used to it. So I normally, when people kind of go back and forth, I just go like this. I don't even, you know, like most people be like, people, yeah, we're adults. I've been like, this is entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay, go.
I was respectful.
No. It was cool. And you're right. And that's what I love about you. I love that. I love when people kind of stick up and say what they want to say. It's absolutely okay.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, and I hope she comes back. I think it's interesting she said she used to be loud and she's not anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas, have you always been, or were you quiet and then you got, or you was always like, hey, I'm kidding. I'm Zess bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Always.
Okay, you always like that. Okay. So you're like my daughter. She came out the womb and she was screaming, and her father was like, does she run on batteries? Why doesn't she ever stop? You know?
My mother said that I was very capable. I've always been very capable. She's like, I don't think there's anything you really can't do. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she said, I didn't have a baby until I had your sister, because you never wanted to like sit still and cuddle. You always had somewhere to go, some mission to be on. You always had a mouth. And evidently, my retaliation was to bite people when I was little. And I would run around biting, and my mother would do something and I would bite her. And then my mother said she really wanted to just like kick me. And so she told the doctor I was biting. He said, well, next time she bites you, ask her. Why?
That's funny. You know what's so funny? What did Joss say when I said you were like a bouncer and you could take anyone down? What did she say? She said, that's hot. You should bite them. When you listen back, that is weird as hell.
I should put a bite on it?
She said, when you take him down, that's hot. You should bite him. And here you are telling me you used to bite the fucking... That's funny.
That is funny.
I love you. I love you.
Love you.
All right, guys. On the Wake Up Radio, KB Vision, Cindy Ashby. Check us out. I'm going to, when this kind of like loads or whatever, I'm going to get it on the iHeart, the Spotify, iTunes, Apple, what else? Google Play. Yeah. All over. And it'll be edited and it'll be in the ethers forever, even when we're not. Well, we'll be around, but you won't see us. Anyway.
You'll feel us.
Thank you. I love you. Out of the blue, send me whatever, whenever you're ready to come on, and whoever else. We're always open. Thank you. Night, night.
Flawed individual.
Cindy Ashby Productions.
On the Wake Up.